Thank you for pointing us to the Saviour who alone is worthy. Can you turn with me in your pew Bible to Hebrews chapter 3? There should be Bible close to you there. And Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 19 that Caroline read for us. It's on page, I think it's 1202 of the pew Bible. If you want to turn into it. And we'll look at these few verses. When we were growing up, if we were asked to do something around the house and we didn't quite get round to doing it, there was always a follow-up question, which was, did you not hear me? Now, maybe it's just me. Maybe I was the only one that was asked that question. I don't know. But this was long before I had a problem with my hearing. Because it wasn't so much about the hearing. The question was, if you heard me, how come you haven't done what I asked you to do? I asked you to do something, and it's not done. So the logical understanding is you didn't hear me. Did you not hear me? This passage links that idea of hearing and doing, of hearing what God is saying to us and then doing something about it, of hearing God speak and then being obedient to what God has called us to be and do. So it's not just a case about hearing. Our hearing is reflected then in how we live. It's interesting, this passage really sort of pulls together three time periods. It's looking at the Exodus, at God bringing his people up out of Egypt through the Red Sea, rescuing them from slavery. It's looking at that time scale. And then we move on a little bit, and the psalmist looks back at God bringing people out of the Red Sea, or out of Egypt through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, and then they begin to rebel. Things aren't going to, yes, God rescued us, but how come we're facing all these problems, all these issues? And they begin to rebel against God. We begin to argue with them. So there's the Exodus, there's the time of the psalmist, and now there's the time when the passage is written looking at what it means for God's people today. The psalmist uses this example of Moses to warn God's people in his day against unbelief and against disobedience. So he says, look back, see what happened to God's people. That's what happens when we are caught up in unbelief, when we're just disobedient. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end at the time of the Exodus, or the time of the psalmist, or the time that the letter was written to the Hebrews. It keeps going, because this passage opens with these words, chapter 3, verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, thanks, as the Holy Spirit says. It's not as the Holy Spirit used to say, as the Holy Spirit said way back then. It's as the Holy Spirit says. This Holy Spirit is still speaking. Still speaking. Very appropriate on this Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Spirit who has been at work all down through the years is still at work. Still speaking. As the Holy Spirit says. God is still speaking through his words. Sometimes you hear people say the Psalms are beautiful, and they are beautiful. There's a rich poetry in the Psalms. They are beautiful. But it's much, much more than that. There are lots of other books of lovely poetry, if that's all you're looking for. This is God speaking to us by his Holy Spirit. So as the Holy Spirit says, this is how God reveals himself to us through his word, by his Spirit. Because the truth is, as we look at how those Israelites behaved in the wilderness after God had rescued them, they become hard-hearted, they become wayward. We look at the psalmist's time, we look also at the time when this letter was written. The truth is, we can still be like that. We can still grow those hard and rebellious hearts here and now. It's not something that just used to happen long ago. Can you imagine being with the children of Israel as they're rescued from slavery? Moses begins to lead them out. Suddenly they're confronted with the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them. What are we going to do now? Now we're snookered. Now things are finished. But no. This God who had promised to lead them out is still at work. And the Red Sea parts and they move through. And you can imagine the cheers. This is our God. This is our God who promised to bring us out of slavery, and he's done just that. This is our God who will lead us and guide us. If he's done this, what else will he do? There are no limits to our God. You can imagine the cheers. But then, shortly, they begin to face a few problems. They begin to doubt. They begin to rebel against God by either ignoring Moses or opposing him. And they rebel against God. And God's heart breaks. But the unbelief, rebelliousness of his people. And the sad part is that people don't enter into the promised land that God has prepared for them because of that unbelief and that rebellion. Be careful. That's the gist of this passage. Be careful, because that same unbelieving, rebellious heart can be found in you and me. Be careful. So the question is, well, if that's the danger we're facing, don't leave us hanging here. How do we avoid that danger? If you're facing any sort of danger, what do you want is someone to say, look, here's how to escape that danger, avoid it. And the writer to the Hebrews does this. And it's based around God's word. Verses 7 and 15 have this lovely phrase, today if you hear his voice. Today if you hear his voice. The God who still speaks. We need to be those who spend regular quality time with God's word. That's why we encourage people to use Bible reading notes. That's why we encourage people to belong to groups where the Bible is read. That's why we had the Immersed Bible Reading Program a couple of months back. That's why we do all these things. It's not so that we can fill up any spare time that you have, because you probably don't have a lot. It's so that we can hear God's word today if you hear his voice. And the truth is this, we will not grow. We will not grow as Christians if we're not spending time in his word. We will not mature, we will not grow as Christians if we don't spend time in his word. And it's not just private and personal reading, although that's important. It's also about getting together. That's why we have small groups. Again, it's not just to fill up an evening for you every so often. It's so that together we read and we discuss and we pray, and together God leads us. So we have those small groups, we have corporate worship, and again, can I remind you about Wednesday evening, which is just an evening organized to help us look at what it is to read God's word, to spend time together in small groups with God's word. But here's the first thing, hear God's word. But hearing is not enough. We're also called to believe. Verse 12 points out that we can hear and not respond. So it simply says, this unbelieving heart turns away from the living God. So it's possible to hear God's word and just walk away. That unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That's an awful verse. And it's awful because it's true. Unbelief, turning away from God. The Israelites perished in the wilderness. They missed out on what God had promised for them and prepared for them because they did not believe. They refused to take God at his word. God has given them his word. They refuse to take God at his word and trust him. So it's hearing and believing. And it goes a step further than that. It's also obeying. Not only hearing and believing, but it's acting upon it. It goes back to that question my mum used to ask, did you not hear me? And if you did hear me, why on earth aren't you doing something about it? If God speaks to you through his word and you believe it, then it should be worked out in our lives. It's not something that's irrelevant. Verse 18 makes it clear that it was those who disobeyed who didn't enter into God's rest. They heard, they believed, but they didn't live it out, they didn't obey it. And they didn't enter into God's rest. This was not only a catastrophic event, the time of the Exodus, the time of the psalmist, the time that this letter was written to the Hebrews. It's very possible here and now that we will hear and believe and yet not put it into action. And we miss out on what God has prepared for us and promised to us. Hearing, believing, obeying. And the last one is simply sharing God's word. We're all in this together. So verse 13 of this passage simply talks about encouraging one another daily. We're blessed around here with folks who are so good at encouraging, who will come along beside you with a smile, maybe with a Bible verse, maybe with a prayer, maybe simply asking that God will bless you in what you're doing. But we have folks who get along beside you and encourage you, and that is great. And we should all be doing that. I love this phrase, as long as it is called today. When should we encourage each other? As long as it's called today. So if you wake up in the morning and it's today, that's the day that we should be encouraging each other. It's not rocket science. It's simply helping each other to hear, to believe, to obey, to live out. We all need this encouragement and support, all of us. It's part of what it is to be in the body of Christ, is to encourage one another. To hear, to believe, to obey, to share God's word. That's how we avoid this hard and rebellious heart. Those folks that came up out of Egypt ended up in the wilderness, missed out on what God had promised to them. They needed to hold on to that faith that God would come true in his promises. So too, our salvation rest, our eternal rest is entered only by faith. By faith in Jesus, by faith in what Jesus has done, trusting in what he has done, by hearing, believing, obeying, sharing. Today, if you hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts. Harden your hearts is to miss out on all that God has for you, not just for a short while, but for eternity. And the cure for a hardened heart is a bended knee. As we bow, as we seek God's forgiveness, as we open ourselves to the work of His Holy Spirit, who through His Word teaches us and leads us into all truth. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Let's pray together. Lord, you know the state of our hearts. Lord, we get perplexed about cholesterol levels and all the rest of those things that affect our physical hearts. And yet, Lord, how little time do we spend thinking about how our hearts have become hardened. And so come by your Holy Spirit and soften our hard hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.